Welcome to Grace Minutes. We're glad that you've tuned in. We're going to continue our subject, but introduce a new year. If you're listening to this on Friday, New Year's Day, the first day of 2016, welcome to the new year. And to live by faith and to redeem the time this year, every day that God gives us. We don't know if we're going to live every day of 2016. We don't know if Jesus will come back during 2016. No one knows. The Father knows. The Son may know by now, but I'm not sure. We know that at one time, Jesus said, no one knows, only the Father. He didn't even know at one time. Interesting how the Trinity works. And we're going to find out more and more. We're going to learn of Him this year as we set our hearts to understand and to acquire wisdom, seek wisdom. In yesterday's broadcast, Pastor Handel brought out the provision in Leviticus 25 for the Jews to have a Sabbath year and to have a year where they did not need to plant or harvest, and the miracle of God to provide in the sixth year enough produce to last them to the ninth year. So they could really, you know, take the year off and just really enjoy the work of God. I mean, that sounds like, I like that idea. Can you imagine having a whole year's vacation? I mean, I don't understand. So we get the word sabbatical in our English language.
My father took two sabbaticals, and we traveled Europe twice on those sabbaticals. I like that term very much.
I haven't taken a sabbatical yet, but the thoughts occurred to me. I've had friends that have, and I don't know if I could take a whole year, but who God knows. We'll see. But the idea of God's providing, that's where we were yesterday, and in the new year, to trust God for His provision, even when it comes to miracles. And then there's also the aspect of stewardship. Part of wisdom is understanding good stewardship, and that doesn't mean hoarding. You know, as they were provided in the sixth year enough to last for the ninth year, some wisdom was needed for them to manage it wisely. Some storage had to be. They couldn't just leave it out to rot. They had to put it in a place where it would be kept well, and even if there was some spoilage, it would be limited. So there was still enough for them to survive on.
There really was a provision not for not hoarding, but generosity. During that year, not only if something grew on the land that didn't plant, they could take it on a daily basis, but so could the poor. Any poor person who found anything that they wanted to pick off their land during that year was allowed to take it. So while they're not having for themselves, they're at the same time giving to others. They had to live by faith.
You know, and we find that in the scriptures all over. The wisdom of God indicates that we be givers, not just takers. Of course, everything we give, we've already received from God. So we need to be receivers, if you will, receivers of grace and of wisdom. But then what we have received, to give it freely. This is good stewardship, not to hoard. That's not good stewardship, but to know when to give, what to give, who to give, and to do that with divine wisdom. You know, there's been some documentaries that have been on the lives of those that have won the lottery and how they've come into a lot of money, and it really wrecked their lives because they did not know how to be good stewards. They had never had a lot of money. They did not know how to handle money. And so they handled it very foolishly and to their own hurt. And so stewardship is part of the wisdom of God, and part of stewardship is giving liberally. You know, in the political realm, depending on the Christian camp, usually liberal has become a bad word. There's certain things that we want to be very liberal in. And maybe not the politics these days, but in our giving, in our approach to how we bless others and what we hold on to versus what we give away, what we donate, what we appropriate.
The Jews of all, they challenged me because they did not have the fullness of Christ, and we did. But what God asked them to do, one more thing with the Sabbath year, during that Sabbath year, they were supposed to forgive all debts. So you've loaned some money to someone, you're in the Sabbath year, you're not planting, you're not harvesting, and the guy who's been paying you back no longer has to pay you a penny that year when you need it most. It's amazing. And then they're even warned, don't you get stingy the sixth year and not loan to someone knowing that after the 1 year he doesn't have to pay you anymore. So there was this living by faith. The law was, you know, we say we have law, we have grace, but in that law, people had to live by faith, and then what happened is they saw the provision of God.
And the promise is when we do give, God sees it. He sees that our heart is after him to do his will. When we give wisely, when we're exercising good stewardship, when we're blessing those that are less fortunate, our Heavenly Father sees that. And who is he going to entrust with wealth? Those that use it the way he wants them to use it. Now, yes, I know many evil people are very, very wealthy, and that's true. And I believe that in that case, the devil's actually buying them off and just causing them to be distracted by their wealth while he sucks them into hell. But on the other hand, there are many wealthy people that know the Lord, that are wise and that are godly, and that use their wealth properly. Jesus taught in a parable to use what he called the mammon, the unrighteous mammon, calling the currency, whether it's euros or dollars, as we use dollars here, this stuff, and although actually physically, I guess I'm told it's very, very filthy.
He called it filthy lucre, and when you look under a microscope, yes, it's a great way to spread germs. Jesus was accurate scientifically there.
Yeah. But when we use it wisely and you put it to good use, all of a sudden it becomes holy. Once it's dedicated to the Lord, whatever's dedicated to the Lord is then holy.
Set apart for sacred use. That's what whole. And now you set your money, your filthy lucre, apart for sacred use. It's an exciting thing. You can do that.
And he said, buy unrighteous mammon, make friends that will be able to receive you in eternity. So what he's teaching us there is that what money does come our way, what he does, whether we earn it or whatever means it comes our way, to use it wisely for the kingdom of God so souls will be won so we can spend eternity with them dancing on streets of gold. Now, we can spend a lot of money on foolish things that can only be enjoyed here in this life, and then they're gone, or we can spend our money in ways that really increase the kingdom of God and make friends forever.
During my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to pastor two churches in Montgomery County. And funny, I left one because of the problems, came to the second church, had all the same problems. It was very interesting. They were almost identical. It was scary. One church grew twice as large as the other. And I said, what was different about that one church? Two things. I got the men in the church to pray with me daily. And that church supported missions and missionaries. The other did not. And God would keep a church going with a million problems as long as it's supporting someone who's preaching the gospel. I've lived it.
And I know a little bit about those churches. The one that, unfortunately, there was a person in charge of the finances and refused to support missions. And now they have a building. I'm not sure if there's anybody in that church building. The church is gone. The church has left, and now the church is doing quite well. And they don't have a building. I won't say any more about that.
We don't want to get into details, but it is God's heart for us to be givers, the church to be a giver, the individual to be a giver, the family to be a giver. And when you're finding, you know, with your holidays, at Christmas, find someone who needs someone to be a family to them and be part, enter them and be a giver with your holidays. While we're getting to the holiday season here, just being creative and sharing what we have.
You know, I mentioned earlier, we don't know if we're going to be able to live out all of 2016 or whether the church will be raptured, or I'm sure some that are listening to my voice, you probably won't live out the year. Some that are listening to my voice, you'll be in heaven. Some of you maybe even know it already. And maybe you're looking forward to it. Others, you have no idea. You're going to see Jesus before you're going to see 2017. And hopefully that doesn't terrify you. Hopefully it's like, okay, it could be me. Wouldn't that be something if I'm the one I'm talking about? But I'm fine with that. I'm fully convinced that Christians are the only people on earth that are better off dead. And we are, all of us. But in the meantime, we're called on to number our days, and we find this in Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, and for us to, as best we can, prayerfully plan. You know, we can't plan everything because we don't know everything. But as the Holy Spirit leads us, plan our days, be ready to adjust to grace. If our plan isn't the right one and God has another plan, just say hallelujah, let's go with it. But to make every day count, I think, is the important thing here. To live that today matters. There may not be anything big on the calendar for today. It may be ordinary tasks that we have to do today, but to draw near to God, and we don't know what surprise comes our way. We don't know, but today, to draw near to God and make every single day count as long as we have life.
I want a revival this year. I haven't seen one in a few years. I mean, yes, I'm in my 60s, but come on, Lord, this year, can't we have another one? In the last days, Joel, the prophet said that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Couldn't we have another one? I mean, now, of course, I want to pray for that. I want to actually, as much as I can, plan for it, be led of God, put everything before the Lord. But let's make, you know, I want the excitement of seeing God move in a fresh way. Don't tell me how cold people are to the gospel. It just means we need a bigger miracle.
And, you know, if we don't pray and don't desire it, then we probably won't have one. Every revival that I know of on any level has always been an answer to prayer. I don't know of any revival that just happened with nobody asking for it, but where people ask. I think that's one of the prayers that God loves to answer. Send my spirit with power? Yeah, I'd like to do that.
So we have that possibility. And this, you know, so we give ourselves to prayer. As God leads, we give our finances. We give our time to ministry. And we say, God, I just want to be a minister. I want it to be my life and get my family involved and my church involved. And God is not limited in these days. If we could see what we've never seen before in a greater degree. Actually, we should expect it according to the prophets.
As we pray for revival this year, and perhaps every day this year, wouldn't there be something to purpose? Every day I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God for revival this year.
Go after sinners in prayer. Yeah. Go right after them.
Yeah, I call it my hit list. I have souls that I pray for on a regular basis. I want them in the kingdom. I want them confessing Christ. I want to hear of or do their baptism or be a witness at their baptism or hear they've been baptized. I want to hear them confess Christ with their own lips. I have a number on my hit list.
Our hit list is getting bigger. It's fun.
Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read these words in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That means looking all around, having our eyes wide open in the kingdom, to see spiritual things, not just the landscape, but walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Are the days evil? Yeah, a lot of people are groaning and moaning. The days are pretty evil, and they're getting worse. But we're called on to redeem the time, buy back, make the best use, make sacred use of our time. And what are we buying with our time? Souls, souls, souls. Faith, obedience to the Word of God. These are the things we're buying with our time.
There is nothing more exciting than watching a life change before your eyes, to see a person actually transformed. I can't think of anything like it. There's nothing like it. But we have that opportunity for someone to hear the Word of God and then, my God, they're changing. And it that never gets old.
To see the glory of God in someone that was a lost sinner and now they're a saint and they're becoming like Christ right before our eyes. Yes. I love it. We're out of time for today, so please do join us again tomorrow at this same time.